Hi, and welcome to the Four for Soaring podcast. The funny thing is, you're a genius. This is an episode of the podcast, like other episodes, where I'm going to be sharing with you a story that I wrote to help you soar and be who you were created to be. You can find more stories, quotes, jokes, and pods at my linktree.com/4for-soaring. And we're excited today to bring you this installment of Four for Soaring. And what we're looking to do is spark new ways for you to look and approach life, tackle the challenges we're faced with, and exercise a collective growth mindset. This one's called Funny Thing Is, You're a Genius. And wrote this one after listening to a couple of great podcasts from amazing authors and podcast hosts. And I just want to kind of share what I learned out of those with you. So the first part of it is, funny thing is, humor is a serious business. And there's this great quote that came in one of the podcasts and is on the website of some of the folks I'm about to tell you about. And it's by Dwight David Eisenhower. A sense of humor is part of the art of leadership, of getting along with people, of getting things done. And so, you know, this has never been more important than now. Things have been rough for a long while. Many in our nation, some of us at home, others learning new hard lessons at work, all of us having to face down the demons of our culture. You know, we've had to fight through some stark, unfunny moments in the past year and whatever months. If we're not careful, we'll fall into a humorless abyss. And this is a place where joking is not permitted unless you have the express written consent for Major League Baseball to do so.
This copyrighted telecast is presented by the authority of the Office of the Commissioner of Baseball. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without express written consent.
Do I exaggerate? Of course I do. It's part of my style of humor. But seriously, folks, does the world, whether that be the sphere of home, work, governance, worship, have to be a rigid place where we can't joke around? You'll be shocked to learn. I was listening to podcasts. I know, me, listen to a podcast. That's the sarcasm for those unaware of my insatiable thirst for podcasts and sharing them. Anyway, I was listening to this podcast called The Prof G Show, and I encountered two experts on workplace humor, Jennifer Aker and Naomi Bagdonis, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing her name wrong, who teach the popular course Humor, Serious Business at the Stanford Graduate School of Business, where they, and to quote them, help some of the world's most hard-driving, blazer-wearing business minds build levity into their organizations and lives. And I can't help but think that this was something they put on their website pre-pandemic when people wore blazers and not sweatpants. And I've got some science-y facty facts about what in the heck this might have to do with us. Here's what they have to say on their website, humorseriously.com. And it says, there exists a mistaken belief in today's corporate world that we have to be serious all the time to be taken seriously. But the research tells a different story, that humor can be one of the most powerful tools we have for accomplishing serious things. Studies show that humor makes us appear more competent and confident, strengthens relationships, unlocks creativity, and boosts our resilience during difficult times. Plus, it fends off a permanently and unsightly frown known as resting boss face. Top executives are in on the secret. 98% prefer employees with a sense of humor. 84% believe these employees do better work. But even those who intuitively understand humor's power, few know how to wield it with intention. So as a result, humor is vastly underleveraged in most workplaces today, impacting our performance, relationships, and health. Aker and Bagdonis unpack the theory and application of humor, what makes something funny, and how to mine your life for material. They show how to use humor to make a strong first impression, deliver difficult feedback, persuade and motivate others, and foster cultures where levity and creativity can thrive. not to mention how to keep it appropriate and recover if you cross a line, which we all need at times. And I've got a copy of their book linked out on my blog post, both on Medium and on my WordPress blog, 4 for Soaring, with a 4 in the middle. Their book is linked there and on their humorseriously.com page. One of the things they said was, not everyone is funny in the same way. Over the past few years, we've run a series of studies to tease apart individual differences in both what people tend to joke about and how people most naturally deliver their humor, content, and delivery. Those studies have yielded 4 primary humor styles: the stand-up, the sweetheart, the magnet, and the sniper. When it comes to the content of someone's humor, we've found that it ranges from affiliative, wholesome, uplifting humor to aggressive humor that's no holds barred and a few shades darker. Meanwhile, someone's humor delivery can range from expressive, spirited, spontaneous, spotlight-seeking to subtle, understated, premeditated, and full of nuance. And so these, when you go out there and you take their quiz, which is, again, is on humorseriously.com, basically it allows you to map where you are. Are you a magnet? Do you keep things positive and warm and uplifting? Avoiding controversial or upsetting humor, radiating charisma? Are you a stand-up? Are you a natural entertainer who isn't afraid to ruffle a few feathers? Are you a sweetheart, earnest, honest, often flying under the radar? Or a sniper, edgy, sarcastic, and nuanced, unafraid to cross lines? So it puts it on this 4-prong continuum, and you can kind of plot out where you are. And mine is mostly magnet, which probably isn't a surprise to a lot of people that know me. I did use a cheap excuse to use alliteration when I said that. Mine is mostly magnet. Well, now, for those of you who are more literal, prescriptive, and straight-laced, you might be saying, okay, Mr. 4 for Soaring guy or food for thought guy, first of all, make up your mind which 4 guy you are. Secondly, this is not super serious and businessy. What about the genius part in the title? I want to learn about that. Well, for that, we can shift gears to another podcast, another book, and a very famous uber businessy author, Pat Lencioni. And listening to Andy Stanley's leadership podcast, where Lencioni goes over the 6 types of working genius, it was pretty cool. Caught up with Pat. He totally allows me to call him that, my brain, despite the multiple equally fictional restraining orders. And according to Pat and his team, everyone has 2 working geniuses that come naturally, 2 areas that they struggle in and are therefore areas of working frustration, and 2 other areas that are in between our geniuses and our frustrations, called areas of working competencies. These natural giftings or working geniuses fall into the following 6 categories. Thank you once again for joining us on the 4 for Soaring podcast. If you'd like to support us, there are some simple ways to do that. You can become a Patreon. You can go to our Patreon page, or you can do a one-time donation via PayPal. Actually, all of the 4 for Soaring content and ways to get into this are all on our link tree. And that's at linktr.ee/4forsoaring. Thank you for joining us. The genius of wonder, the genius of invention, the genius of discernment, of galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. The genius of wonder is the natural gift of pondering the possibility of greater potential and opportunity in a given situation. The genius of invention is the natural gift of creating original and novel ideas and solutions. The genius of discernment is the natural gift of intuitively and instinctively evaluating ideas and situations. The one on galvanizing is the natural gift of rallying, inspiring, and organizing others to take actions. And the enablement is the natural gift of providing encouragement and assistance for an idea or a project. Whereas the last one, tenacity, is the gift of pushing, projects or tasks to completion to achieve results. And it sounds a lot like some of the other Enneagrams or some of the other kind of Myers-Briggs inventories and things that folks do. And it is similar to that. But what Pat and his team assert is that organizations and teams that don't tap into this true genius cannot come close to realizing their potential. They're left puzzled by their ability to achieve their goals. And this often leads them to make inaccurate and hurtful judgments about one another and to feel unnecessarily guilty about their shortcomings. So as a leader, knowing your team's composition and ensuring all the areas are represented will lead to greater productivity and innovation. So he's really hoping that as you uncover this, as you go take his test, that that you then are going to be more productive of an engine as you work together. And the bottom line is this: when you identify your areas of working genius, as well as your areas of life draining weakness, you put yourself in a position to tap into your natural gifts, and you can achieve more in every aspect of life. So what's the bottom line? And, you know, how can we really use both this idea of figuring out what kind of funny we are, figuring out what kind of comedian we are, as well as figuring out what kind of genius we are? And I thought, since this is all about being funny, that I'd take you to a dark place before I lift you up and encourage you. And that would be my pleasure. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my cousin Easton, who's an author. He writes an eclectic selection of prose, and he has done extraordinary work recently on a post-apocalyptic novel and a fantasy graphic novel. He's got a new one coming out called A Guardian. And he's done some other brilliant work on Runner and Samurai Grandpa. And I've got those linked in the blog as well if you want to go out there to my Medium at 4forsoaring or my personal blog, 4forsoaring.com. In my estimation, he has a couple of these types of geniuses, probably something like invention and tenacity, if I had to guess. I'm a lot older than he is, and I recall watching him, and I had a very limited lens, you know, when I got to see him a few times as a kid. And I would visit his house, and I'd see him drawing. He'd create these beautiful illustrations, and I thought, what a talented young man. I wonder if he'll ever have a career in art someday. And I also wondered, you know, can these kind of cartoon drawings turn into a business, into work? You know, I had sort of this very cynical thought. But I was just impressed by the beauty of what he was creating. I had no idea that he would grow up and write, earn a master's degree in creative writing and literature, teach at an English second language school, run the operations for that school, and most recently had his greatest accomplishment, becoming an awesome dad to an uber cute little lady. And last summer, this is where the dark part comes in. You know, Easton is the light. but the dark part is where last summer he posted a challenge on his Twitter account to write flash fiction, a brief story of only 280 characters that would intrigue and provoke readers, which I had never done before. I was like, what is this? But I thought it was cool. And so I wrote one, and I thought, you know, what kind of fictional story am I going to tell? And so I wrote this. This is just an email. I've written a million of them. Why is my heart racing like this? Why are my hands quivering like I just stuck my finger in a wall socket? The judgment on the other end of this keyboard is too great to hit send. I'm walking away. Unless I am the problem. That was a dark fictional tale in just a few words. And what's interesting about that is it's not really fiction. I lied when I was applying his ask to write flash fiction. I told the truth. I told about a story of something that actually happened to me. They were a snapshot of a real moment I had experienced over a decade ago. At that point in time, I had no humor. I had lost it. I was gripped by fear and insecurity. And thankfully, with the help of some amazing people, I didn't remain there. I was able to work myself out of it with a lot of help, frankly, the help of God. And what I've found since then are two things. Humor must remain everywhere, at home, on social media, in the workplace, in the church, in our church culture, our politics, lest we be truly lost. Like my not-so-fictional autobiographical protagonist, there's always a lighter side to every season we find ourselves in, no matter how dire it may seem. And the second thing is that as quick as we are to attribute genius to others, we can reach unparalleled speeds when it comes to doubting our own. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Stop it. Maybe that's because we fail to understand that there are many kinds of genius that we all possess. Maybe if we were to be exposed to the peculiar genius we possess, we might doubt ourselves less often and without as much haste. It's more important than ever that we trust ourselves in ways that matter to produce results in every sphere of our lives that make an impact and find ways to fail fast and improve faster. With every failure and pratfall, there ought to be a laugh and a lesson. We can do that if we're clear about what we bring to the table in the form of both our genius and our laughter, aka our humanity. This is even more critical when we're deliberately pushed into the chasm of ambiguity and asked to iterate, ideate, and evolve as we go at a ceaseless pace. And unlike the humorless judgment I imagined I awaited on the other end of the keyboard, or more accurately, the mold I had cast myself in at that moment, we have to do better. We have to show up armed with both our clown nose and our slide rule, ready to join the circus, round out the think tank, and compliment the humor and genius of others around us every single day. So that's the end of the story. If you get a chance to rate this podcast, sponsor me on Anchor or somewhere else, or share it with a friend is probably the biggest thing you could do, if it has some value especially. And, you know, leave comments on any of my social media and share with me. I'd love to engage in a conversation with you. I also like to hear requests for themes, stories. Just shoot me a message. DM me on one of those many things you can find out on my linktree.com/4forsoaring. Because after all I want to do is see you soar. Be well, my friends.